Welcome to The Wonder, exploring perspectives, rituals, and observances of modern, naturalistic, earth-revering, pagan religious paths. Here are your hosts, Yucca and Mark.
Welcome back to The Wonder, science-based paganism. I'm your host, Yucca.
And I'm Mark.
And today we are talking about the equinox, or Mabon. It's got a lot of names. So welcome back. Mark, what do you call this holiday that we're coming upon?
I call it harvest, and that's a little bit of a misnomer because there are three harvest holidays, but this is the one that's in the middle, and it's sort of the height of the bell curve of harvesting, if that makes any sense. The agricultural productivity that's happening right at this time is just astronomical. The huge volumes of grapes and apples and vegetables and tomatoes and summer squash and winter squash and leafy vegetables and all this stuff it's just pouring out of the earth right now in my area. And it's also, of course, the time that we call the crush, which is when all the grapes get crushed and the air everywhere smells like fermenting grapes. This kind of sort of red wine stain on the air you can smell everywhere. So for me, it's I call it harvest. How about you? What do you call it?
Well, when I'm speaking with other people, I usually just call it the equinox because it's another one of those ones that there's a lot of names for. But within our house, we call this time of year first autumn. And that's because it's the first half of that season, or there's really, in my area, there really truly are eight seasons. So, or sometimes Mabon, but don't always call it that much. Just call it, it's autumn. It's a celebration of autumn. So we celebrate the whole season. And for us, the holidays are the high point of those seasons. So we've already begun. Some people start their season on that holiday, but for us, it's the very middle. So it's we're already in the thick of it, really. And it's another wonderful time of year for us. We have been getting some warmer weather where I live than is typical, although we haven't been getting the intense heat waves that other folks have been getting, even fairly close by. So we've been a little bit warmer, maybe 5 degrees, sometimes as high as 10 degrees higher, but it's been warm during the days, but we can feel the cold coming already in the air at night. There's a crisp, there's a little bit of a chill, and I've pulled some of the blankets out. They're sitting at the foot of the bed, ready to be pulled up if we need. We're certainly not running the cooler at night, just opening up the windows and letting that air in. And the forest fires have cleared, but now you can smell a little bit of the wood smoke from the homes in the air. And it's just a really magical, magical time of year. And the harvest, also the annual harvest, is really at its peak. Although a lot of the zucchinis and tomatoes and all of that have finished up mostly, but now the winter squash and some of the longer storage kinds of things are ready to come up out of the ground.
That sounds very wonderful.
So, yeah.
Yeah. The lines between the seasons are a little blurrier where I am. The ocean effect tends to sort of soften the edges of all of the changes in climate around the course of the year. And so we don't have as sort of crisply defined seasons. We kind of have to plant our flag and declare a holiday once in a while just to say, look, we know this is happening sometime around now, so we're going to do this. I tend to start redecorating for a holiday about 3 weeks before the actual holiday takes place. So, there's usually 6 to 7 weeks between each of the pagan holidays. And so I start the move about 3 weeks before the actual equinox happens. And so I'll be collecting colorful leaves and getting gourds and pumpkins and things like that right around this time.
Yeah, so that's kind of similar for us. It sounds like your 3 weeks before is more or less what we're doing as well. For me, there isn't, you know, I don't have a day marked on the calendar. It just sort of, I feel it in the air. It's just, I see it in the, there's some of the leaves. They're mostly still green. We do have a few trees here that have leaves instead of the needles, and they're turning a little bit, starting to turn yellow on the edges. But we just see that happening in it. And the house starts to change along with that little by little. So I switch out the color of the sheets on the bed and the throw over the couch. And I like to use a diffuser in the house for different smells. And the smells, which oils we're putting in. Now, I don't buy into the magical properties that people talk about with the oils. I just like the way they smell. So I have a different one. Now I'm transitioning into already starting to use a few of the kind of spicier smells, like some cinnamons and cloves and things like that. And the house starts to smell that way. And then, of course, with the kids, we're always bringing, last time we were joking about no safe pine cone. Well, we've been collecting, we have pinyon pines here, which are this, mostly pinyon pine and junipers, most of the trees that we have here. But the pine cones make these little, small, almost flower shape. And they're not long like a ponderosa's. They're almost dish shaped. So we were just collecting, we've got an entire vase instead of having flowers in them. It's full of the pine cones from the pinyon and that sort of thing.
Nice. Nice. So, do you harvest the pinolas from pinyon pine?
So the nuts, there isn't a good harvest every year. It's every few years. And so this year we've been drought. There was almost nothing.
I see.
Right. But other years, it's actually a really big, big deal in northern New Mexico going out for the pinones. And those are just wonderful. I've got a lot of memories of sitting underneath those trees and just picking them fresh, or they leave behind the little shells after the animals and the bugs and things have picked them apart, and they're like little boats.
Nice.
And as children, we would stick the juniper berries inside the shells and try and close them up and make all kinds of games about that. So that's a lot of fun.
Fun.
Yeah. So what is the season? So what does it mean to you in terms of your wheel of the year? What's going on in this holiday?
Well, there are a number of meanings, because I think of the wheel of the year first of all as an arc rather than as a wheel, because it's important to me to state in my calendrical description of the cycling of the world that death is real. So, rather than, okay, we have fall and then we have winter, but then there's the rebirth of spring. Spring isn't rebirth to me. Spring is a new generation to me, which is different. So I tend to think of the year as cycling from the winter solstice around through to Hallows or Samhain, and then the fallow time, and then the new generation is born. So the metaphor for a life, this is sort of later middle age, when you're kind of in the fullness of your power and you've come to know who you are and you've had enough life experience. And so you're harvesting. You're harvesting many of the plans that you built over time, and the the dreams and goals that you had. Some of them didn't come to fruition. Some of them did. Other things came along that you were able to harvest that were kind of gifts that you didn't plan for or anticipate. So it's a time to sort of take stock and really celebrate the bounty that the world has poured out for you in your life. And I think of that both in terms of my overall life as well as the most recent annual cycle. So mm-hmm. I will make plans or decisions about things that I want to do in the February-ish time, when it's too cold to get anything in the ground, but I can start planning and deciding what I want to do and all that kind of stuff. Now is the time when I can look and say, hey, you know, I accomplished a bunch of those things, and a couple of them fell flat on their faces, and that's all right mm-hmm. too. Maybe I'll try them again next year, or maybe this ground just isn't fertile for that. Mm-hmm. And I mean that in a metaphorical sense, not in terms of planting a garden, but in terms of the things that we choose to do in our lives and try to pursue.
Yeah.
So that's really what and then of course there's the true agricultural cycle, which is, you know, this is here, it's a time of wine and apples. Apples, wine, wine and apples, apples and wine. And you know, you can kind of shove some gourds and pumpkin in there too, but mostly what's
for your area here,
it's apples and wine. So I think of that aspect as being kind of a harvest celebration in the form of pagan Thanksgiving, you know, mm-hmm. having a feast, inviting the loved ones, sharing wine and things made with apples and things made with the bounty that the earth has poured out, and really celebrating everything that has come to us, everything that we've achieved through our own effort and all of the support and cooperation that we've had in order to make those things happen.
Mm. Wonderful.
So how about you? What does this time mean for you? And
compost. This season, this holiday is when we really honor the decomposers. So each of the holidays, we have what's going on in the world around us that we're part of in our particular habitat, but also some ideas, some themes around that. So last time we were honoring the grasslands, and before that, the arthropods, and we can keep going back. But this for us is really about those decomposers, especially the compost. And that happens all year round. But this time of year, it's a really wonderful time to highlight it, especially in temperate environments. So if you're in a temperate forest and the leaves begin to fall, that is when the mycelium starts to wake up. Mm-hmm. The fungus is awake and active all winter long underneath that layer, that blanket of leaves and snow that's left there, munching away. So they are, and fungi are heterotrophs. They are eaters. They're not autotrophs or producers like plants. Mm-hmm. They're in there eating and changing and converting and putting it all back. And without the decomposers, the system collapses mm-hmm. completely. They are part of the nutrient cycle, that returning, and they are ever hungry mouths, even though most of them don't really have mouths, the insects and the worms, but the bacteria and the fungi, they don't work quite that way, right? They're sending their digestive enzymes out into the environment around them and then absorbing back what they need. But that is really, really important because it's breaking all of that material down so that everybody can use it again.
Sure.
So it is, it's, we have a lot of fun with celebrating them. We do compost this time of year. I do compost all year round, but we will do some of the hot composts this time of year. And it's, mm-hmm. if you have enough material, it's so much fun to do a hot compost. It's a lot of work too, because there's mm-hmm. a lot of shoveling, and normally I'm very lazy and I just give it to my worms or give it to animals to eat and they do the work for me. But this time of year, if you want to make some good soil real quick, you can really do that. And there's just something in the air about it that just is, there's that crispness in the air. It's cool, but it's still warm enough for everybody to be awake, and you get the little steam coming off of your pile. So that's the focus for us. Nice. And actually yesterday I was doing a project with the kids. We got some oven baked clay, and this was very exciting to get oven baked clay because we can save it. And so we made a whole bunch of different decomposers. So we made lots of mushrooms because those are very fun to make. You can mm-hmm. put all the crazy colors on them, and worms. And then we made a bunch of big bacteria, and we talked about the difference between, you know, what's a bacterium and what are the protozoa and what are nematodes, and talked a little bit about the soil food web and all of that. And now we've baked them, and I hung them like beads, so we have our little decomposer garland. So
nice.
And we'll be painting this up. Yeah,
that's great.
So it's the season. Mm-hmm.
So what does that mean metaphorically then to you?
Well, it is the rebirth element. But when I look at the Wheel of the Year, I look at it as the whole system, as the whole ecosystem. I don't think of it from the perspective of the individual. Hmm. So this is the time when the old, when the dead is being, where it's being fed to the next, to the new. And then when we, next season, we get into the holiday that really is about the ancestors to us. But that's all the way dead. This is the process of death being yummy and making new life from it.
I see.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. That's very cool.
So, yeah. And you get to stick your hands in soil and dirt and yucky stuff too. And then just all the beautiful colors too. Because even though most of our trees here don't change, we do have the pops of, we've got some little shrub oaks that'll change. And we have some bushes and shrubs like our chamisas. I think people call it rabbit bush as well, that mm-hmm. get these really intense, beautiful yellows. And then we still are having the sunsets from the summer lasting through. This is another magical time of year. I'm going to say that about every season. It's very magical.
Yeah. Well, I share that with you. Yeah, they all are. Although the blast furnace of what I'm experiencing right now it's stretching my capacity to define it as magical.
Yeah, because you're having quite unseasonal heat.
We are.
That you're having is pretty extreme.
The irony is that at the height of the summer, when you would think that it would be the hottest times, like in early August, generally we're protected by the fog layer that comes in from the ocean. Mm-hmm. So that tends to cool things off. But then as the angle of the sun becomes less and its power to drive that pump reduces, it starts to stutter. And then we're mm-hmm. exposed to the full glare of the sun, and the temperatures really soar. And then, of course, what's happening right now is that there's a huge blob of hot air that's moving up from the tropics and is just taking over the whole kind of southwestern part of the United States. Mm-hmm. And it's reached us, and we're having really extreme temperatures. But that doesn't mean that it's not autumn, because it is. And here where I am, we will have some of our most extreme temperatures in September and October, because we won't really have rain systems show up. We may get one storm in September. That's not too unusual. But then it mm-hmm. tends to dry up until December. We don't see anything in the way of precipitation until around December most of the time.
And so the early months of the year are traditionally wet periods for you?
Yes.
Okay.
December, January, February, and intermittently in March. In a wet year, we'll continue to get rain in April and May, but in a dry year, well, we don't get much rain at all. So, I mean, compared with where you are, I'm sure we still get a significant amount of rain. Our normal rain here is about 40 inches.
We're 12.
Right, right. Yeah, you're in a desert.
Which we've gotten about four of this year. It's been a tough year.
Uh-huh.
Gotten very, very little rain. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Ordinarily, I have kind of a feeling about what kind of a winter it's going to be, but everything has been so chaotic this year, weather-wise, and it's 2020, so you just never know what's going to happen next. So I'm making no predictions about whether we're going to have an adequate winter or not.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen any predictions for it, or it's?
I haven't.
Not tuned in.
No, yeah. I haven't. Yeah. So that's the autumnal equinox. And of course, the other meaning that the autumnal equinox has is that it is the moment where at least within the tropical climes, the amount of daylight is equal to the amount of night. And there is a metaphorical meaning there around balance and integration and openness to the opposite, all of those kinds of things, which I think are also really important to name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So it's being one of the, you know, solar holidays, it is the actual time is based on Earth's path around the sun.
Yes.
So, and what our orbit is. Yeah. And the passing through the ecliptic. So, but it is a little bit of a myth, unless you are in that the very low latitudes, then it's not actually equal at the equinox. So
no, it isn't.
Yeah, but it's close. It's often very close. It's enough. You know, you start counting the minutes, then no, that's not going to be the case. But it still is pretty even.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah.
Yeah.
Although by the time we get to either of them, I'm just ready for the other half of the year. I'm just ready to go into the dark half of the year. And by that other time, I'm like, nah, I am ready for the warm, ready for the light.
Uh-huh.
So.
Yeah, I feel the same way, but I don't know how much of that is because it is so common for the time right before the equinox, the autumnal equinox here, to be blazingly hot. And so I want it to rain. I want to hear the frogs in the spring. All that kind of stuff I really miss. We have you're in a desert, so this, won't necessarily seem like a problem, but we have such a long season with no precipitation. Just none. Mm-hmm. I mean, you get rain in the summer as well as snow in the winter. So at least there's something happening in the two different blocks of time. The tap just shuts off in the spring for us, and we go for 5-6 months without a drop falling from the sky. And you can feel how the land is just aching for it, just mm-hmm. waiting, surviving until finally it comes back again. And we're at that time now. There's a layer of dust all over everything. So the leaves have turned into a dark green from the bright green that they were when they first leafed out in the spring. And I'm ready for it to rain.
Yeah. So what are some things that you do in the home or with your pagan community around this celebration or this time of year?
This is a hard one this year because of the COVID pandemic. This holiday particularly lends itself to a big social gathering in my experience because it's so much around food and drink and it's a really good time to, you know, go out and buy a whole bunch of local produce and, you know, maybe a piece of locally produced meat or something, and just eat wonderful local stuff that comes from our local landscape. I'm still going to try to do a dinner party of four with adequate social distancing this year. Myself and Nemea and a couple of friends. But that's really all that I can do this year. But as I said before, it's about appreciating the bounty that's poured out for us and really getting a chance to enjoy that. So that's the primary thing that I like to do this time of year.
And it sounds like this year in particular is a really important year to be mindful of that. Despite the intense suffering and loss and craziness of the year, that there still is a harvest of some sort, whatever that is in our lives, whether that's literal or a metaphor.
Yeah. Exactly. And we need to remember that our communities exist because we've been so distanced from them for so long. And there have been so many crises. I mean, California is at the beginning of our fire season. There's no reason to believe that we're not going to have additional wildfires that could be devastating. So there's the election. I mean, there's so much to be afraid about and to be anxious about, that, you know, knowing that you have your people and that you're loved and supported and fed is really important right now.
And that if you use the metaphor of the wheel, that it keeps turning.
Yes, it does. Like it, not, it still keeps going. The world keeps turning. The world keeps going around the sun. The world keeps processing on its axis. And it's going to keep doing that for quite some time, no matter what happens. So there are things you can depend on, and that's one of them.
Exactly.
Well, we could talk about, you know, what do you like to serve to your family or your community at times like this?
Well, this time of year feels like a time of a lot of abundance. It's a time that in my family, that we eat a lot more carbs than we normally do, because this is when the winter squash and the apples and all of that stuff is just starting to happen. And I can't resist that pumpkin pie, frankly. That's the other thing. I love autumn for the pumpkins and this, all of this cloves and spices, and oh, it's just so wonderful. And the hot teas and all of that stereotypical autumn-y stuff, but I love it.
Me too. I really do. You know, something that that I've had, I haven't served, but I'm really kind of leaning towards doing this, is a Thai pumpkin curry soup served in a tureen made from a pumpkin.
Oh, that's cute. Okay.
Yeah. So I've had it once, and everything about it was just so elegant. I mean, you know, they bring this pumpkin out and take the lid off, and then there's the wonderful soup, and you ladle it out, and it was just delicious and so good. Also a little spicy from the curry, not quite that same medley of autumn spices, but it's got that same autumny sort of feel with the pumpkin and so forth. So that's really delicious to do. It's a little late for caprese salad, but I still like to do that as well, which is the fresh mozzarella, sliced fresh tomato and fresh basil leaves, and then drizzled with olive oil and balsamic vinegar.
Nice.
Very delicious. Just super refreshing and clean. And I like to eat that all summer. So I can go through a lot of fresh mozzarella.
Well, it's funny you were mentioning the spicy. To me, that is also fall. That's also autumn because I'm New Mexican. Mm-hmm. And we have the green chili. And, oh, you can smell it in the air with the roasters. So spiciness is a part of the autumn. And then into the winter as well. We always eat green chilies. I mean, that's part of what we eat here. But especially in the autumn and the winter.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's got green chili in it.
Okay. I like green chilies a lot.
Yeah.
What else might I serve? There's a wonderful thing you can do with a pork loin, mm-hmm. where you spiral cut it into a long sheet.
Mm-hmm.
So you cut it in a spiral and unroll it until the pork loin is actually a sheet of meat about 1/4 inch to half an inch thick. And then you mm-hmm. slather that with spicy sweet mustard, roll it up and toothpick it together, and then roast that. And you can do a balsamic vinegar glaze over the top of that if you like to, or you can do something with apple vinegar. Also goes very nicely on top of that. Mm-hmm. But the mustard soaks into the meat and just makes this beautiful flavor. It's really delicious.
Oh, my mouth is watering. That sounds great.
Yeah, well, this is the time of year to do stuff that sounds great, you know, because it won't be long until you know, fresh produce starts coming from places far away rather than places close up. Mm-hmm. It's really the time for us to be enjoying what comes out of the ground.
Yeah. What about stews? Do you start, I mean, for you, it sounds like you're still in a pretty warm time, but for us, this is when stews start up again.
Ah, okay.
We'll do stews for, you know, I just can't get behind stews in the hot part of the year, but when it's getting chilly, when it's, you know, eat the stew at night and that nice, wonderful, feels like substantial. With the pumpkin, a great one that sounds very strange but is delicious is a pumpkin beef and cinnamon stew. Sounds like an odd combo, but it's actually a delicious, very autumn-y
kind of taste. It sounds great, actually. I've had beef cooked with cinnamon before, and it was very good. Yeah, that sounds great. I think stews for me are more along the lines of Hallows, Samhain time. Not entirely sure why that is, but there's just something that seems a little bit more deathly about a stew. then all these fresh vegetables that we're, you know, talking about cooking for Hallows.
Mm-hmm. For harvest, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, for harvest, right. But I love a good stew. Many different kinds of them. Chicken stew with green chilies. You know, kind of a spicy, maybe hominy in there, sort of a pozole kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. And some tripe if you like that particular texture would go real well in that.
I do not.
You do not? Okay.
I do not eat the digestive tract. It's just one of the things I don't do.
From a texture, just from like a cultural discomfort
level? No, it's a texture thing. I just don't like it.
Okay. Yeah. Well, another one that people don't always get behind, but thinking of the autumn, sauteing apples. To do like a nice saute the apples with some onions and some of the leafy greens that are coming back in, like some of the kales coming back in the autumn. And then if you like it with a little bit of chicken liver is probably my hands down favorite go-to meal, especially in this time of year. There's just something very, very earthy and sweet and rich about it.
Mm-hmm. It's funny, you were talking about that, and I was thinking I would add chicken livers to that, and then you said chicken livers, and there it is. Yeah, apple, onion, and liver is a really classic combination. I'm not super fond of beef liver, but I like chicken livers a lot.
Yeah, the beef is a lot stronger. Some people really like lamb, who find the beef too intense. The lamb is a little less.
Mm-hmm.
But it also has that, like, preparing you for the winter, getting ready for that cold time of year sensation. And it, yeah. And it seems like our seasons are often
and preparing you to eat organ meats.
Yes. Well, yeah, and if you are trying to get into that, chicken liver is often one of the most mild, kind of an easy jump into that. Yeah.
I'm sorry, you were saying something. What was
I was going to say that sometimes it seems like our transitional seasons seem to be off a little bit between each other, where you're already in spring when I'm still in winter, or I'm already going into fall when you're still in summer, that it doesn't, you know, doesn't quite line up. And I'm sure that for our listeners, some of you are, you know, in similar situations where what we're talking about in our climates is not what's going on in yours, especially for those of you who are listening in the Southern Hemisphere or in tropical regions.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And especially in the tropics, where you aren't getting the four temperate seasons, that you're getting rainy seasons and dry seasons. And if you're right on the equator, two of each.
Right.
So, yeah. But yes, a lot for us is that I kind of feel like a bear getting ready for the winter, eating up all the good food, all the sweet berries and pumpkins and all the little, you know, livers and tripe that I can find, so that when we go later into the leaner part of the year, that, you know, it kind of feels good. It feels like a little bit of a, it feels kind of refreshing. And also the other thing for us is, you know, even though we do home brewing, we're not big drinkers, but this is a time of year that we really do enjoy a good cider or a good mead.
Mm-hmm.
There's that crispness in the air and that celebration of those apples and the bees getting their last work in before their long shivering winter. Do you know what bees do in the winter, by the way? Honeybees, at least.
They mostly stay in the hive, don't they, to stay warm?
They do. They just get together and they shiver. They buzz their wings and they take turns with who gets to be in. Yeah, sort of like penguins do, right? So you have your center of the group is nice and warm, and then they'll crawl out to the outside, and the ones who are on the outside get to go on the inside, and they just live their whole life there, because the adult bees don't live for very long compared to the queen. So some of them will live their adult life as bees, just hanging out with their sisters and eating honey and shivering. and of course, taking care of the brood. It's always about taking care of the little sisters. But
yeah.
So I like the image of being inside the hive with all the sisters just buzzing away. And so, but they still have some work to do before they can go in for their rest right now.
Sure, of course. Yeah, this is a time of a lot of activity in the natural world, because time's a-wasting. The first signals of the winter coming are happening now, and so an awful lot of creatures are rushing to save up their food stores and, you know, or fatten themselves up or whatever it is in order to prep for the lean time coming ahead.
Or in the most of the insect world, the get those eggs laid, because
we're gonna die.
Because they're not gonna make it through the winter. So make sure that the next generation will.
Yeah.
So yeah. So there's a lot going on. And it's kind of nice to just witness that, all of that happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And the migrations. I mean, I watch the birds. We have a wetland area here that has about 200 different species of birds that move through it at various times of the year. I used to work for a conservancy that worked to promote and educate people about that wetland area. And so we will see various kinds of creatures going across on their way in or on their way out. It's mm-hmm. a stop on the Pacific Flyway. So it's a place where birds that are headed towards the tropics will stop and feed and rest before they take off.
That's great.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Our hummingbirds are gone now at this point. We have them all year. Well, all summer. And then they head back down south. So mm-hmm. we're taking in the feeders and we have some other migratory, but we're really not on the path for some of those huge migrations that happen.
Yeah. Yeah. You need bodies of water, for that, for that to happen, because that's what they're looking for, is water and insects and so forth. And, in real concentration. And so if you're in the desert, you're not likely to see a whole lot of that.
Yeah. I mean, we have the Rio Grande not that far off, but for folks from wetter parts of the country, you wouldn't call it a river. It's you call it a stream.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it gets dammed far up above us. So by the time it gets to us, there's not much left.
I see.
There once was more of a river to it, but it still is never the type of river as somebody from a wetter area would be used to as a river.
Sure, or like the Colorado, that's got such a huge watershed that it collects vast amounts of water, even though it runs through mostly desert areas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and water politics, that's another topic.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know whether you've heard this in New Mexico, but in California, they say whiskey is for drinking and water is for fighting over.
Mm-hmm. We don't have that expression here, but we've got a lot of challenges here.
I bet.
So
I bet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially how many different governmental entities that we have in this area.
Mm-hmm.
So, because we've got all the tribes and then
sure.
all the little land grant stuff and then the different counties, and it gets pretty complex.
I bet.
Yeah. And then it just doesn't rain.
Right. Our big deal up here is that Southern California wants to pipe all the water from Northern California down so it can build more suburbs.
Mm.
And that's just,
but they're already doing that from Colorado.
They're doing that too, but they've maximized their allotment, their one-third allotment from the Colorado. And of course, the Colorado has been in drought for 20 years now, something like that. I mean, you see it in the reservoirs, the big bathtub ring. So,
you know, for folks interested in this topic, Cadillac Desert. That's a fantastic book to get a picture of the historic context of what's going on.
The water politics of the arid West are lively.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was one of the big reasons that I went into agricultural ecology in the first place, was starting to put together some of those concepts and going, ooh, we got a lot of work to do in the next mm-hmm. few decades. So, and crops don't work everywhere, folks.
No, they do not.
So, but yeah. So we're actually talking about the equinox today, though. Let's come on back
That's right. We are.
Yeah. But I do enjoy going off in these different directions with you, Mark. It's fun. I hope it's interesting for our listeners. So.
I hope so too. I have no way of telling, but obviously we both have very far-ranging interests, and you know, we end up hopping off onto other stuff that we wouldn't necessarily be talking about otherwise. It would be interesting to hear from our listeners about how they celebrate the autumnal equinox and what it means to them, and also suggestions for cool recipes that we could adopt to our own harvest and autumnal equinox celebrations. Mm-hmm. You can do that through our email address, which is thewonderpodcastcues@gmail.com. So thewonderpodcastqs@gmail.com. And we hope to hear from you.
Well, thank you. And thanks, Mark.
Thanks, Yucca. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk with you every week. It's a high point of my week too. I really appreciate it.